I will rest in you. That's good words right there. You know, so for most of this summer, we've been talking about the topic from Scripture of rest, because I'm really convinced that too many of us right now are exhausted. Think about even the words we use to talk about how we live. Our time is consumed. Our lives get crowded. We have trouble getting margin and resting, and it's not good. We don't focus. We're not able to prioritize what's really important for our own health, and we become tired, overwhelmed, and sometimes burnt out. So we've been looking at what God's Word says about resting so that we're able to do what God's called us to do and to become what God's called us to be together. And this morning, we're looking at what Jesus says to people a lot like us. In fact, Jesus is talking to people who are listening to a sermon, in fact, but they're not really listening because they're distracted by their worries. And just, you know, it's a better sermon than you're going to hear today because Jesus is preaching. And, you know, let me just put it this way. If you open your Bible up to Luke chapter 12, let me just talk through this. It starts off by a preacher and a sermon and an audience. It's Jesus preaching. And I'm not going to talk about the first sermon. Jesus is talking about the end times and how Jesus takes care of his kids and how God's people have to deal with suffering and persecution. And this is Jesus preaching, and you'd expect that if you're going to listen to anyone, it'd be Jesus, and that's what you expect. But I'm not even kidding. Something shocking happens. Someone just interrupts Jesus, blurts out, and goes, you could read it if you want. Jesus, you didn't ask, but let me tell you what I'm thinking about right now. Jesus, I'm worried. Sorry to interrupt your sermon, sir, but I have a family conflict. I've got drama, and I've got financial things. Jesus, nice try preaching, but can you yell at my brother for me? And that's how it goes. And you read it, and you're like, what? Jesus is preaching. What kind of person can't stop thinking about their own family drama or their checkbook long enough to listen to Jesus? What kind of person does that? Which is a terrifying question because you start thinking about it and you go, I don't like the answer to that question because when you think about it, I'm that kind of person, right? Because it is really, really hard to rest and focus on the Lord. It's a command, but it is really hard to be still and know that He is God. It's harder than it sounds to hit pause on all of our normal fears and anxieties and stresses, and it's not good for any of us. But we're all like this guy in Luke 12 because instead of listening to the Lord, we too often think about our week, we think about our future, we worry about family drama and finances when we're in the presence of the Lord and worrying about uncertainty instead of trusting in God's faithfulness can mess us all up. So Jesus gives a sermon about that interruption. It's about how controlling your worries, how managing your stress points, controlling your fears, has the ability to help you rest and grow and flourish. The fact is, if you can let Jesus' promises sink into you this morning, I think it could free you up from the slavery of fear and worry. Here's a sermon that Jesus gives shortly after that interruption in Luke 12. I'm going to read verses 22 through 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more. It's more than food. And the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn yet. God's got it. God feeds them," it says. "And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying," he asks, "can add a single hour to your life?" Worrying doesn't get anything done. I added that part. Verse 26, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I love this. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not set your heart on what you'll eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows what you need, or knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid. And I love how he describes this little flock. He's our shepherd, right? For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, you got to remember the context. All this stuff about not worrying, Jesus is saying this shortly after getting interrupted by someone who is so consumed by worry and fear that he can't listen to Jesus' sermon about how he'll take care of us. It's almost like Jesus is going, okay, so I learned something from my audience. A lot of people are stressed. For example, that guy who just interrupted me, literally, there's someone who is interrupting Jesus' sermon about his family drama and his own finances instead of listening to Jesus. So he's going, you might be better off if you could rest and not worry so much, or at least rest and listen to the Lord. That's a harder thing to, it's harder to do than to say. Because look, we're all a little like this guy. You should know, though, the people in that crowd had a lot more to worry about than us. You see things, Jesus mentions food and clothing. That's because that's really their biggest fears. These are scratch plow farmers. They're poor fishermen. They're people who are selling very small things in a marketplace. Jesus is talking to a third world village who really all they had to worry about was food and clothing. Us, though, we don't have that to worry about. We're all rich. The reality is, odds are, I don't think any of us have to worry about food or clothes. But the weird twist in the story is, I suspect most of us are more stressed out than folks back then. The irony is, the more you have in life, the more uncertainty you have to deal with. So we're all like that guy. We worry. And we worry about the things that we're unable to change. The things that really consume us are, well, variables, that things you can't control. Because that's what most of our worry is about. Things that might happen, things that might not happen. We worry about things that you can't be sure about. Money, which is the example in this story, is a good example, lots of us worry about that. But take a minute, okay? Be honest. I'm not going to ask anyone to talk, but between you and the Lord, what are 1, 2, 10, what are some things that you find yourself worrying about? It should be hard. You're probably already thinking about some of them. But make a mental list. What do you worry about? Take a second. Here's some really common ones. Do people like me? Do I have real friends? What if I don't make the team? What if someone else get picked for that job promotion or committee? Will I ever find a spouse is a real fear. If I do find one, will it work out? Am I worth loving? Will I be able to have a family? If I have kids, how will they turn out? That's a lot to worry about. What about my health? I'm starting to go to funerals of my friends. Is that going to be me? What if I get Alzheimer's and I don't even recognize the people I love? Those are the really common things that we all worry about. Issues about our health, about our money, about our relationships, our achievements, and any one of those things that you should have listed has the ability to take over your head, your heart and your life. The big problem is you can't control most of the things you worry about. So what do you worry about? Can you control them or not? That's the first question. Second question, and my former professor, Dave Pallison, really pokes this out. Why do you worry about what you worry about? Why do you dwell on those things in the first place? Like, we're crazy. Like, we'll watch the news about things that we have no influence or control about, and then we let that news control us because we stay up and we worry about it. Why do we do that? Why do we use our time? Why do we have panic attacks? Why do we brood? Or whatever form that your anxiety might take about things you can't control. Now, most of the time when you ask that question, you very quickly start listing all the things you have to worry about, like as though all your worries explain why you worry. Like, of course I'm worried. Have you seen my list? I don't know if I'll get a job. I don't know if I have enough money to retire. I have a family history of can't, like whatever. But Jesus isn't content to say, you worry because you've got lots to worry about. In the passage, I mean, he says a bunch of things. He says that our worries are not just explained by pointing to all of the mess of life. Our worries come from inside of us. The passage says over and over again, your worries come because of you, not because of your circumstances. I think an obvious point, part of wisdom and self-control is the ability to separate, to say, you know, this is something I'm worried about, it's something I can change, and I can take action on and move on and stop thinking about, versus, like, this is just something I'm worried about that's out of my control. And Jesus is talking about the second category. When we can't control things, we worry about them instead, and that starts to control us. I can't comment on everything Jesus says here, but Jesus' final comment, the last words in the passage, offers yet another reason why we worry. When you worry, you're making an investment. You're putting treasure in the wrong place, and that's where your heart goes. If what you're worrying about can be taken away or destroyed, like you're just set up for being worried. Like if what you're worrying about is something that can be lost, it's the wrong place to invest your treasure. If you're living for your health or how your kids turn out or your treasure, like you're always building a house on the sand if your treasure is vulnerable. And whenever what is precious to you is threatened, your fear goes through the roof. So the question is, where do you store your treasure? In iffy things or uncertainty? So why do you worry? What makes you feel like you have to control your world? If you can understand that, you'll get insight into yourself and you'll understand what Jesus says next. Because Jesus, you know, what Jesus says next is so precious. He could keep talking about the things that are wrong with us, but he advances somewhere good. It's almost like it goes, sure, you have a long list of things to worry about. Life is so, so, so uncertain. There's so many things you can't predict. But Jesus, instead of picking on us, tells us things that are certain. For all the things that you don't know, there are things you can know. And I'm going to give you a list from this passage of 7. It's from my professor, Dave Pallison. Then you'll see some homework in your handout that I won't talk about, but you can take it home and work on it. I think it's called Fending Off the Barbarians in Your Head. There's some passages of scripture to meditate on this afternoon, perhaps, but I'm convinced that what Jesus says next can help you to rest, focus, and flourish. Certainty number one. Look, there is more than your life than what you're worried about. Like, back then, they were worried about food and clothing, but whatever you're worried about, there's more to your life than that. You know, right before Jesus tells this story, there's a parable about a rich fool. His identity is in his stuff. And Jesus says, look, if your life is made up of things you can lose, then you might lose them. But if your life is made up of things that you can't lose, you are untouchable. And Jesus says, the fact is, you are more than what you've got. What's important is who you worship and what you do with Jesus. So go through your worry list one by one. I don't think anyone is here is really worried about food and clothing. If you are, like, please, we want to help you out. But put your own worries in those blanks. Your life, Jesus says, is more than whatever you're worried about. That's certainty number one. Certainty number two, Jesus gives some illustrations. Look at the ravens. Look at the birds. You know what's true about the birds? Jesus feeds them. I don't see any stressful birds flying around. They're not planting bird seed. God feeds them. And you, Jesus says, matter more to God than all the animals that he feeds without you noticing or worrying about it. That's sure. God's got the whole world in his hands. So you could trust God with things you're uncertain about instead of using all your mental energy stressing about things you can't change. In fact, here's what it says next. This is crazy. Who can, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Literally in Greek, it's which of you by worrying can add a cupid to his span? It's a measurement. It's about 18 inches from like the wrist to the elbow, which is important because the Bible views life as a walk, step by step. And what Jesus is saying is you may spend a lot of time worrying. You can spend days and hours. You may spend all your energy worrying, and it's a waste of time because you don't even get a half a step further in life for all your worrying about things you can't control. It's unproductive, Jesus says. Let me give you something else. So to be fair, I'll just point this out. There are things you should probably worry about that you can control. Like if you're driving, right? You should probably worry about how much gas you have in the tank, because if you run out, you're gonna get stuck, right? That's something you can control. So check the gauge and get gas if you can afford it, right? That's something you can do, and then stop worrying about it, right? But there's something in us that reminds us to take action. That's really good. And then there's stress about things you have no control over, and we use the word worry for both categories. But Jesus is talking about the kind of worry that sucks away from your energy instead of adding to it, because it's worrying about things you can't affect. Which of you, by worrying, can add a single step to your life? None of you. That's sure. Number four, think about the lilies of the field, how they grow. You ever think about the wildflowers? They don't toil or spin. If you're someone worried about having clothes to wear, like Jesus' audience was, seeing beautiful flowers would encourage you. Jesus makes flowers beautiful. He'll take care of you. Jesus points out, like, weeds growing in vacant lots. Flowers are beautiful. And wildflowers are pretty wild. No one cares for them except God. And Jesus uses this logic. Look at something really familiar, and he just ups the ante. If God makes weeds beautiful, so beautiful, their glory outdazzles Solomon's courtyard, how much more does God love you? Like, this isn't just God will take care of you. That is sure. God will take care of you. This is God will clothe you in nothing less than his radiant glory. It's like Christ is saying, why are you worried about the clothes that you're wearing? I will dress you in my glory. Why do you worry about your health? I will raise you from the dead to eternal life. Why are you worried about a few dollars? I give you the whole world as your inheritance. Why are you so stressed out when someone doesn't like you? You live in a kingdom of the love of God. This is sure. This is a spectacular reason not to worry about things you can't control. That God gives you a life that is radiant, indestructible, and full of glory and love. That's how God treats wildflowers. How much more will he make you as radiant in his glory? That's reason number four. So number five, here's what's short. Don't seek what you're going to eat and drink. That's what everyone was worried about back then. Don't keep worrying about those things. And in Greek, the word here, translated worry, has the idea of being preoccupied, stressing, seeking after, some of your translations say. The next line is, all these things the nations of the world seek. In other words, look at what everyone else is after. Go on social media for 30 seconds. Watch a commercial. This is what everyone's obsessed with. Things that don't last. Don't dive into that world if you don't have to. There are things you need. You need a job. Maybe you should eat healthy, pay your bills, own a car. All those things are necessary. Don't not be concerned about them. The things of life are stewardship for us. There's things that God called us to do. But that's not who you are. What are you really about? Is your life about, well, fame and money and approval? The nations of the world eagerly approve these things, Jesus says. And he says, the Father will give you what you need. If you can get the big thing in your heart straightened out, God gives you what you need for the little things. The call here is to prioritize. There are things that everyone in the world makes their main mission. God says that is a distant second. God gives you what you need as you and if you need him in order to live. Number six, God promises you himself. God is generous. God's promise directly meets our own tendency to worry. Like, you know what happens when you live for money and health or looks, having a boyfriend or girlfriend or job success or super well-behaved kids? What guarantee do you have of that for the long run? What guarantee do you have, though, that Jesus' promises here won't become one more iffy add-on? Jesus emphasizes this. Don't be afraid, little flock. The Father knows what you need. And I love what he calls us, little flock. Like, all the things that we sang, Savior like a shepherd, lead us. He is our shepherd, and God loves us, and he protects us. And it says, your Father has been pleased to give. We have a loving, powerful, generous Father. And Jesus just makes it intimate and personal. This is certain. And you can build your life on this. You'll never be disappointed. Jesus invites you to leave your anxious fears and take that energy to seek the kingdom of God. That means 100 different things. It means being able to say with Psalm 121 that my helper is the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's say my rescuer is Jesus, the Messiah, my Savior, who sacrificed himself on the cross out of love for me. That's what it means to seek the kingdom. That is absolutely sure. Number seven, having given us so much, our Father calls us to the radical freedom of generosity. You know, this is both a reason to trust, and it is simultaneously a alternative to worrying. Like, we naturally worry so much. We think of life as what we're getting things for ourselves. A lot of our fear, a lot of our worry, we become anxious because of things that we want to get or things we want to hold on to. So much of our worry is closely related to getting or keeping for ourselves. At the end of Jesus' message on being free from worry is radical. It says, give. Because you've been given a sure thing, you don't have to hold on to it so tightly. There's nothing to worry about. So you have the freedom to be generous. It is his pleasure to give you his kingdom, so you can give too. Like, that's such a good reason to let your worries go. We just naturally tend to be obsessed and worried about stuff. If you really believe in providence, you're able to open your hands. I'm not going to gloss over what Jesus says. It's radical. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Lots of interpretations. I don't think it means you literally have to live like St. Francis of Assisi, but I think you have to have his attitude that what you really hold on to, The only real happiness comes through not what you have, but by trusting in the Lord and living a life worth something, which means you don't have to hang on to stuff so tightly. You can be generous because there is a world to reach out to. There are people to show God's love to. There's jobs to be done. We have an opportunity to make the world a better place. We can use what God's given us. Your Father knows what you need. He promises to provide for you what you need. But the answer to worrying about the uncertain is getting first things first. To live your life for what is sure, the kingdom of heaven. And when you start doing that, it pushes against the uncertainty of all the things that we worry about. Jesus makes these promises that the best things you could ever want, you could never lose, which is amazing. All the things we worry about are about things we really want, but we could lose. Like, that's what we worry, right? We worry about the things that we want, and we're worried about losing. But Jesus says that what you really need, you could never lose. If you die for me, you will live, is what Jesus says. And this is something we can build our life on. If you die in Christ by trusting in the Lord, you live in eternity. Your Father provides so you could be free from worry. I'm convinced that if these seven certainties about God's provision and providence sink in, if you could really start to trust what you can be sure about instead of worrying about the things you're not sure about, I think that would free you from all the anxiety that comes from not knowing. That would give you the freedom to trust His leading. You'd be able to follow Christ to a flourishing that cannot be threatened by the disappointments of this uncertain life. And we'd be able to follow the Lord's leading wherever He took us. So Father in heaven, can you lead us where you choose? Can you remind us that you are our shepherd? We're a little flock. And Father, I pray that you would free us from the bondage that we put ourselves in by worrying about all the uncertain variables outside of our control. Help us to fill our mind by what is sure, what is true, what is helpful, what is beneficial, in a way that gives us a solid foundation to build our lives upon. Father, I thank you that you lead us, and I pray that we would become people who are able to confidently follow you. I ask this in the name of our shepherd, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.